Go with me, if you would, back to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, and let's read the first four verses again. Behold my servant. This is God the Father speaking concerning God the Son, Christ. He said, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. The title of this message is Courage for the Discouraged, or Encouragement for the Discouraged. Tonight I hope to bring some encouragement to you. I sincerely hope to bring some encouragement to you. The Scripture tells God's people to be encouraged. That's what it says. That's what the Word of God says to His people. And I'm so glad. There are some things in the Word of God that when I read them, I think, I am so glad He wrote that, because He knows my frame. He knows what's going on in my mind. He knows what's going on in my heart. Every time it says, and your children, I think, oh, thank God for writing that. He gives hope. He gives hope. And one of the things that He says to us in His Word over and over and over is, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Over and over again. Go with me over to Psalm 31. We'll read a couple of the places. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Verse 23 says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Be of good courage. That means be encouraged. Be encouraged. He is going to strengthen your heart. You know why we need to hear that so badly? We are always discouraged. I am always discouraged. It kills me. It just kills me. And I like David said in Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Just turn your eyes up. But I am. I am constantly just cast down. And the Word says, be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. He's going to. If we are His children, just like with our own children, He's going to strengthen our heart. He's going to encourage us. He's going to be there for us. He's going to pick us up. When we fall down, He's going to pick us up, just like we would do for our children. He said, if you're evil and you know how to do good things and give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father? He's going to strengthen your heart. He's going to strengthen your heart. Who's he talking to right there? Every soul that hopes in the Lord. Every soul that is hoping in the Lord. Look with me at Psalm 27. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, I had fainted. That means I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If all of my encouragement was bound up in the things of this world, I would have fainted. If I did not believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, if I did not have that on the horizon, I would have fainted. So verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Do you want to be encouraged? Honestly, do you want to be encouraged? Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. He'll encourage you. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon, and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Verse 6, he said, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He said, be encouraged. Be encouraged. God will not fail you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. You know, the future is so unknown to us. We're just fickle flesh, and it just is so unknown. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I didn't know if I was going to take that breath or not. But he knows everything. He knows what he's doing in everything. It's so perfect. He will never, never leave you. He will never forsake you. All you who hope in the Lord, who are honestly, honestly hoping in the Lord. Now, that right there is what brings encouragement to a discouraged heart. Christ your God, the Lord Jesus Christ your God, will not fail you. And he will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will not leave your side. He won't leave your side. He will sit right beside you and will hold your hand, saying unto you, fear not, I'll help you. To me, that's about the sweetest thing you could ever hear. That's about the sweetest thing you could ever hear. God has never lied. Not one time. He cannot lie, and he tells it like it is. If he said that he will sit right beside each one of his people and will hold their hand, if he said that he will take the time to sit there and hold their hand, then he is right now sitting beside you, holding your hand. Right now. You don't know it. You can't see it. You can't feel it. And the reason is because the veil has not been lifted yet. There's a veil. But if he would lift the veil, we would see that that very thing is so. And I'm just not joking, and neither is the Lord. We would see that very thing. If he would just lift the veil, we would see he is sitting with each one of his people right beside him, holding their hand, whispering to their heart. When they feel a moment of comfort, that's him saying, "Fear not. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to help you." Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to prove that statement of if he would just lift the veil, we would see it so. 2 Kings 6, the king of Syria was trying to take and kill the prophet Elisha. That's what's happening right here. Verse 13. And he said, the king of Syria said, "Go and spy where Elisha is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, Elisha had a young man who was his helper, his servant. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Elisha's servant ran back in the house and said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Would you lift the veil for just a moment that he may see? And I'm going to tell you something. Through the word of God, our Lord does that for us by faith. What we're about to read, by faith, we can see it. When he lifts the, when the Spirit comes, you get it for just a minute. He just lifts that veil for just a minute. We can see it. We believe it. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Do you think that young man got a little bit of encouragement in that moment? I cannot imagine. I was just picturing that young man when he had his eyes open and he saw that. I would imagine immediately he was of good courage. Why did Elisha have all those angels, all those horses and chariots of fire around him? Why did Elisha have that? Was he special? Was Elisha special? Meaning, was it a special, a rare, a very unusual case, just a very unusual case where God did that for one of his own? No way. He said, "He'll give his angels charge over you." He'll give his angels charge over you. How many will he give? Well, how many do you need? He'll give all you need. He said, they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's what he said. Take courage. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will supply you with everything you need. Thank God, not everything we want. For our good. He just won't do that. But he'll give us everything we need. We can count on it. He shall not fail. He will not fail. Go with me back to Isaiah 42. Now this has given me so much encouragement. So much. Just seeing this truth about Christ and everything that he's done for us. It's given me so much encouragement. Isaiah 42, concerning everything Christ came to do in the salvation of his people. Verse 4 says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. That was the announcement of God the Father concerning Christ. He shall not one time will he ever get discouraged. Not one time. There is no doubt about it. He is not going to fail. He shall not fail, and he did not. But to stress how matter of fact that is, not one time did he ever even get discouraged. Not one time. Not one time. Now, listen to the definition of the word discouraged. All right? The word discouraged means the loss of confidence or enthusiasm. It means disheartened. Another definition of the word is persuaded against an action. Persuaded to not do something. Somebody comes and discourage. Persuaded to not do something. God the Father said concerning Christ, in everything that he would endure on this earth, the Father said he will not lose his confidence or enthusiasm. He will not become disheartened. And he will never be persuaded against the work that he's been given to do. He shall not be discouraged. He shall not fail, and he shall not be discouraged. Turn with me over to John 12. John 12, verse 12, it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Verse 23 says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 27, he said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. He was headed to die. Headed boldly in to die. And he said, "My soul is troubled." Was he disheartened? As he was going into this, did it sound like he was losing enthusiasm? No way. He set his face like a flint, and he said, "For this cause came I into the world. Father, glorify thy name." Look with me at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." He fell on his face crying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The cup of suffering, the cup of being touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He said, "If it's possible, if it's possible." Was that him losing confidence? Losing confidence in that moment? Absolutely not. He was proving it's not possible. Not possible. No other way. He said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" He said, "Didn't Moses and the prophets and the Psalms all say that there was no other way?" Turn with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. These are the words of Christ himself from the cross, just before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Verse 1, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. He said, why have you forsaken me? He said, I'm crying to you, but you won't hear me. Was that him being disheartened over how he was being treated in that moment? Was that him being persuaded against the work he was given to do? He said, I know why you've forsaken me. I know why you won't hear my cry. Verse 3, he said, it's because thou art holy. And I've been made to be the substitute of my people. And while I hang here in their sin, before your judgment, you can't hear my cry. You must forsake me. You must do what's right. Why have you forsaken me? It's so you can receive them. Father, forgive them, he said. Father, forgive them. Accept them by not forgiving me. In rejecting me. That was not him turning from his work. That was him crying, amen. Amen. So be it. The only reason that anyone would ever be discouraged is because they feel that things are not going the way they're supposed to go. And that's just so. The only reason anyone would ever be discouraged is because they feel that things are not going the way they're supposed to go. Not going according to the plan. You feel that it's not going to bring the outcome that you intended. Christ never felt that. Never. Never. Every single thing that happened was according to His perfect will and purpose. Every single thing. That's how it was with His life on this earth. That's how it is with the life of His people on this earth. I want to be honest with you. If you belong to Him, your life is going perfectly. If you belong to Him, it could not be any more perfect. It could not be any better. It could not, there's not a chance, there's no possibility that it could go away that would produce more good. If we turned from the way the Lord has brought us, all it could bring is bad. Everything concerning our Lord's life was according to purpose. It was right on track. We don't use the word plan, but it was all going according to plan. And He knew it. He knew it. As they smote Him on the cheek and ripped out His beard, He didn't lose one ounce of steam. This is how it's supposed to go. And He saw the end. And it's the same way for all of God's people, for all of His people, whatever is happening right now, it is going according to His perfect will and purpose. He never got discouraged because He knew His perfect will and purpose. And if we did, we wouldn't get discouraged either. If we just knew His perfect will and purpose, we would not be discouraged. But suffice it to be so, even though you don't know God's perfect will and purpose, you're in it. And there's no reason to be discouraged. None whatsoever. Everything is going exactly according to God's perfect purpose. I'm gonna stop, but I'm just not gonna stop yet. I just don't want to scare you. I'm not gonna keep going and keep going. But I love how the Apostle Paul, when they threw him in prison, for preaching the gospel. If they came and threw me in prison for preaching the gospel, I got to be honest with you, I'd be a little discouraged. And you would too. But the Apostle Paul, they threw him in prison. And you know what he said? He wrote a letter to the Philippians and he said, "This has happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel." I would imagine, I don't hope the Lord throws me in prison, not at all. But if He did, I would imagine there's a child of God in there. And Paul said, "This has happened for the furtherance of the gospel." And what he was saying is, God is going to use this to save mightily, whatever it is. And He did. He used that little letter to the Philippians mightily. He's still using it mightily. Whatever it is that comes, because of Christ, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Look to Him. He is our confidence. He's our enthusiasm. He's our steam. He's our heart in the matter. Look to Him. Look to the work that He was not persuaded against. And we won't be persuaded against it. Let's look to the fact that He was not discouraged. And that will keep us from being discouraged. I want to leave you with this scripture, okay? We'll close with this. Go to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. just after the books of Moses, after Ruth. 1 Samuel 30. David lived in a city called Ziklag. All right? In verse 1, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. They'd been out. And they came back home, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein and slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. These soldiers, they've been out in battle, and they come home and they're crying and crying till there's nothing in them left to cry. They just cried it out. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And as I was reading this for this scripture reference, I read the whole story, and it makes me want to preach the whole story. I may Sunday, but the point is God helped that man. God helped that man. David, he had nothing left. He'd been stripped of everything. He came home and his city was burned. His house was burned. His family was gone. His men turned on him because they were so sad over the fact that their families were gone. He had nothing left, but he encouraged himself in the purpose, the sovereignty, the will of the Lord his God. That's all he had left. And you and I can do the exact same thing. He will never leave us. David knew that. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake us. He'll never fail us. David knew in that moment, this is not him failing me. And he was not discouraged away from the work of redeeming us. And anytime we need some encouragement, we can always turn to him. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. You'll see. You'll see. Just be encouraged in the Lord. He'll strengthen your heart. All right, let's all stand together.